Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 11th chapter. Jesus was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." So Jesus said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, may your name be revered as holy. May your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And do not bring us into the time of trial.'" And he said to them, "Suppose one of you has a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread, for a friend of mine has arrived, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he answers from within, 'Don't bother me. The door has already been locked, and my children are in bed with me. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything out of friendship, at least because of his persistence, he will get up and give him whatever he needs. So I say to you, ask and it will be given you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and everyone who searches finds, and for everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. Is there anyone among you who, if your child asks for a fish, would give a snake instead of a fish? Or if the child asks for an egg, would give a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" The Gospel of the Lord. You may be seated. I think what a huge promise that God will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. I was thinking about what we ask for in prayer and maybe what we don't ask for. And I was reminded of a dear 2-year-old I once knew who was gaining some independence. And those of you who've known 2-year-olds in that situation, this will sound familiar. So as he was gaining independence, he had a couple of phrases he would say. The first one was, "I do it myself." Does that sound familiar? I do it myself. Everything he needed to do himself. And then the second phrase would come soon after that. Once he tried to do it himself and couldn't do it, he'd say, "It's too hard." So I do it myself, and they'd say, "It's too hard." And no matter what our age is, I think that kind of sums up how we are sometimes when it comes to God. We may not come out and say it, but sometimes how we live our lives, it's like, "I do it myself." And that may hold on for weeks or months or years until we suddenly realize this is not working so well. We can't do it ourselves. It's not sustainable. And then we sometimes cry out to God, "Come on, God, it's too hard." Today, Jesus offers us this huge invitation to pray, that we can freely talk to God and rely on God. He offers this parable of a friend coming to another friend at midnight, a friend who just wants to stay in bed, and it's kind of a strange scenario. But the promise is that the friend who's in bed, who just wants to say, "Go away, leave me alone," will respond not because of friendship, it'll respond because this friend won't stop asking. And the idea is, if this reluctant friend will respond to persistent asking, how much more will our good God respond to us? Especially if Jesus encourages us here, tells us here to be persistent in talking to God about what we need. Jesus then says, "Ask, search, knock, and you will be given, you will find, you will have the door opened for you." And he mentions, as I said already, if someone asks for the Holy Spirit, God will give it. And I think in a sense this also shows that if we ask for things that are not in line with God's way, we're probably not going to get those things. But we have this promise that the Holy Spirit's there, that God is more than ready to give us what we need from God. But I think we know that that can get hard and confusing and even painful when we persistently pray for things that we know are in line with kind of the things that God wants. When we persistently pray for those, and those prayers aren't answered. I don't know about you, but I have so many deep and persistent prayers that I have prayed for people or for our world that were not answered. how I prayed them. And I'm not sure we get an answer for why that's the case. I once read a devotional from a retired bishop about prayer, and he named some of the struggle. He wrote that we assume we find God in whatever answer to our prayer may come. And then he wrote, we pray for health and long life, and we trust that God is present in our sickness and our dying. We pray for peace, and we still believe God is present in our conflict and our discord. We pray for the needs of life, and we still believe God is present among those experiencing poverty. That when it feels like God is not responding how we believe God should, there's this promise that we get God anyway. I think about somebody that I met a few weeks ago in San Diego, a man named Alberto. He works as a day laborer, hard work with no safety gear, no protections that says if he works all day, he will get paid at the end of the day. And he faces many days where there's no work to be hired. It's probably not what he ever thought he would be doing. And yet he talked about his situation and talked with us. It seemed like he was talking about how he didn't know what God was doing, but he keeps coming back to this trust, to this reliance on God anyway. One person writing about this passage, Jennifer S. Wyant, she notes that this passage reminds us that prayer is not primarily about results, but about trust. It's not about saying the right words, but about staying in relationship with the one who loves us. So I was reading the gospel reading earlier this week, the beginning part of Luke 11. It kind of helped me see something. I think about when we read the word of God, we read the Bible, the Holy Spirit promises to work through that and shape us. And some of you know, some of you are at this stage in life, some of you are at a different point in life, but for some of you, there are a lot of demands out there, right? Demands to do work well, demands to care for the family, to be involved in the community, to try to be healthy, and so much more. All good stuff, but so many demands. And as I was reading Luke 11, and not just reading it, as I got to set aside some time to pray it, I believe the Holy Spirit reminded me of something, of how much my time and my life are focused on trying to live out the goodness of God. But in the midst of all that activity, I realized how much I'm tempted to rely on myself instead of rely on the goodness of God. Right? We're invited to live out the goodness of God in our lives, but then also we get to rely on the goodness of God in our lives. And I assume I'm not the only one that sometimes has this challenge. So instead of just talking about prayer today, I wondered if we could think about our prayer lives. And so I have these green sheets in your bulletin, if you got that. If not, they're in the back. And I'm also going to put them up on the screen here. So it starts out with a prayer inventory. So on that green sheet, this is not something you're going to take time to think about right now, but if you want to, you're invited to take it home and think about sometime this week. So in a prayer inventory, like, who is it who taught you how to pray? Did anybody teach you how to pray, or did you just kind of absorb it, come into worship? Was it family? Was it a friend? And maybe, who have you taught how to pray? And then this big one, what is your prayer life like right now? Are you happy with where it is? Is there a time when it was less or more vibrant than it is now? Do you want a deeper relationship with God? Jesus encourages that, invites us into that. Do you want that right now? And if not, what is getting in the way? And then discuss with a family member or a friend or a prayer partner an idea to help you practice prayer more. You don't have to do this, but it's just an idea. One activity we'd done in my previous congregation several years ago is one of our small groups was doing like a book study, and we ended up also having prayer partners. So each person in that book study got to find someone to be a prayer partner with them. Some of them got together about once a week to pray together. Some of them would just text each other prayers or prayer requests. And what was neat is that a couple people who were friends in the congregation started getting together and praying together. And another person asked her mom, who was older and I believe lived alone, asked her mom to be her prayer partner. So instead of just talking on the phone, they would then pray together at times. And she found that to be such a huge gift for her. So just an idea. And then what kinds of things are you praying for right now? And I think that brings us back to the beginning of that Luke 11 reading where the disciples say, Jesus, teach us how to pray. And Jesus shares what we are to pray for God's name to be revered as holy, for God's kingdom to come, for our daily bread, for forgiveness of sins, and for deliverance. And so on that green sheet, like this is the Lord's Prayer, right? The framework for much of the Lord's Prayer. Beautiful prayer that we pray each Sunday. But we also might use it as a framework to expand our prayers. So on that green sheet, I have on there some examples. So one thing you might try, I don't have the forgiveness of sins laid out on that green sheet, but it's pretty self-explanatory. But if you were to pray for forgiveness of sins and follow that prayer petition on that day, you could pray, God, what grudges am I hanging on to? What things am I struggling to let go of? Help me to see that. Help me to let go of it. Help me to get the support I need to let go of it. And God, where do I need forgiveness? And to just kind of listen for God and lift that up. And that would be a way of praying that prayer petition on a certain day and expanding it out a little bit. Another way is you think of God's kingdom come. Martin Luther promised that God's kingdom comes without our prayer. But we pray in this prayer that it would come in our lives, in us and among us. So we might pray, God, please help your kingdom to be lived out in my life, to be lived out more fully, your activity in what I say and what I do. Help your kingdom to be lived out in this world. So you could take a different prayer petition each day and just expand it a little bit and pray a little bit more. And I've got some examples there on that green sheet. Or if you have a little extra time, you could do the whole thing in one day just to kind of expand our prayer life. And then you also might think about what on this list are you strong in praying for and what do you not pray for as often? Because we probably each have areas that we're really strong in praying for and then things we don't think about. So what could we expand in that? We believe that the Holy Spirit works through prayer to shape us, that it's like a conversation like any other, where we both talk with God, but also have times to listen with God. And this prayer reminds us that we have total dependence on our God. That at times, what we're dealing with really is too hard. At times, even when we think that we can do it all ourselves, we can't. And better than that, we don't have to. But we're promised we have this community. And we're promised that we can keep coming to God and keep asking again and again and again for our needs. And sometimes God works in that to reshape our prayers or to help us think about ways we can work in our lives that we hadn't thought of before. One of my former preaching teachers, David Loos, was once asked, "Do you believe in the power of prayer or not?" And he thought about it for a while and he finally answered, "I don't know if I believe in prayer, but I believe in the God who hears our prayers." Might this same God who meets us in Jesus Christ, who meets us in the Holy Spirit, might our God be what shapes our lives and empowers all our good work in this world. Amen.